Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Bev. Thank you, Larissa. You know, from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was on the move. He was on the road. And so it is appropriate to use a modern-day on-the-road experience by Jack Kerouac to fit that, because that's what we're all on. We're all on the road to discover something about ourselves, yes? On the great adventure of life, if you like. And think about Jesus. He never stopped. He started off in Galilee, then he went down to the Jordan, went over into the wilderness. Then later on, he went into the land of the Gadarenes. Then he went up north to Tyre and Sidon. Then he skirted around and down through Samaria, eventually landing in Judea, where he ended his ministry. And he did not enter Jerusalem until today, folks, until this very day, the beginning of Easter week. Jerusalem, it means the place of peace, yes? So I would suggest it is the wholeness of who we are. It's not just a city in the Middle East. It's a symbol of who we are, our spirit, soul, and body. When they come together, they create the city of peace, this embodiment of peace. He enters into that in order to fulfill Jerusalem, to fulfill what we are meant to be, yeah? Now, when the Christ enters into your being, enters into your whole spirit, soul, and body of what you are, it creates great chaos, because it creates a whole new transformative system, and that's the whole purpose of the week we're going through, isn't it? It's to look at what happens when the Christ comes into power in us, yeah? And it goes through all kinds of crazy stuff. We're talking about arrest, betrayal, death eventually, certainly torture, but then also, we don't leave it there, see, we also get resurrection, because the Christ cannot die, right? It can go through all the storms and stress of life, but it comes forth victorious on this journey, this hero's journey, by the way, because I think that's what we're talking about. Joseph Campbell talked about the hero's journey, the stages we go on in our lives. And it's not just like we do this one time, this hero's journey. It's cyclic, you know? We reach an understanding, then we begin again, and so on throughout our lives. Because we are all heroes on our own pathway of life, right? And so we're being invited by Jesus to go on that journey, yeah? Not necessarily physically, but spiritually, to embody it into our own life experience. I love that word embody, because what does it literally mean to embody something? Put it in your body, put it in your life experience, yes? It's not just a nice idea, it's something I do where I am, at work, in my home, everywhere I am, I'm embodying the truth. When we can embody truth, it becomes extremely powerful. Four steps in the hero's journey, which we undertake every week, I would suggest. First step is awakening. Waking up to the fact that life is an adventure of joyous opportunity. Now, if you wake up to the idea that life is the same old misery, you are not on the hero's journey, because you're not going anywhere. You stop at stage one, right? We have to have this idea that, oh no, I am waking up to possibility, because that's where the next door opens. So how often do we wake up feeling, oh my God, not another day? Well, it's not going to turn out very well, is it, with that kind of attitude? So the first step, the awakening step, is to wake up to the fact, no, this is going to be a wondrous day. There's opportunities available for me. And naturally leads us to the second step in that hero's journey, which is the choice, choosing the higher over the lower. You know, at any given day, we have a choice to do that in any interaction, yeah? You come up to anybody, you've got a choice to see them in certain light, a lesser light, or to see them in a higher light. To see them as radiant with life, or see them as the same old problem they were yesterday. And we had the same opportunity to look at ourselves in that light too. Are you the same old problem you were yesterday? Because if you are, you're going to repeat that pattern. You're not on the hero's journey. See, Jesus wanted us to be so much more than what we were yesterday, yes? The higher is the light of Christ that shines within us. That's the possibility thinking. By the way, it's often called the stage of purgation or purging. Purifying. We are purifying ourselves of the old dross, you know, is no longer the truth for us, yeah? And it's not like in the old-timey religion, you know, you got to purge yourself, you got to give up all your good. No, this is giving up the nonsense so you can truly claim your goods. So if we are successful in those first two steps, okay, I've woken up, it's an adventure, I'm ready to go higher, yeah? You're ready to go higher today. Then guess what happens? Step three, challenge, right? There's always going to be a challenge because once you say, I'm ready to go higher, some energy in the universe is testing us to see if that is really true. Sometimes challenges can be obnoxious. They can be awesomely overwhelming for us. You know, they can be a disease. They can be a bereavement. They can be a loss of a job. They can be depression. They can be addiction. But they all come for a specific reason, I believe, and that is to see if we are up to that challenge. They certainly came to Jesus in the wilderness. That was what it was all about, the full testing of his willingness to move forward, yes? Now, what happens if we embrace that and are willing to accept that challenge and say, the Christ in me is greater than this difficulty? We get a gift. We get a boon, as Joseph Campbell called it, that we then take back into our world. And that gift is that quality, and it may change over the years, you know, because we go on this journey over and over again. That gift is the quality that is ours to, guess what, embody, right, to put into our being. Because the fourth step, if you get a gift like a trophy and you put it on the shelf, what good is it? It's past glory stuff. Look at all I did in the past. You have to take the gift and put it into practice in your life. So here comes the question then. What are some of the gifts that we have been given? You know, I've got this desire deep within my heart to become a rock star. But I know that's probably not my gift this lifetime because I've tried to learn the guitar a few times and it ain't happening. So I just lust after the talent of Jerko Dabalich and others like that, those axe men that just inspire me. So I'm affirming that next lifetime I will be a rock star. But this lifetime, that is not mine to do. I am here to do something else, and that's fine. I understand that. So, and I think this is true for all of us. What is a gift that we can embody this week? We shared some beautiful things at 9:30. You want to share something that's yours, you feel is your gift to give? The gift of laughter, okay. The gift of buoyancy, right? Of reminding yourself and others that don't take it so seriously, right? Excellent. That's a wonderful gift, and we need it, don't we, in this society at this time in our history? You know, we need the gift of laughter and buoyancy. Say it again. How though? That's general. With positive words, all right? Being somebody that brings positivity to a situation. Somebody said a similar thing. They said just allowing somebody else to vent. You know, not trying to fix somebody, just allowing them to be there and share something. And not endlessly, you know? You don't want somebody to be venting all the time. Oh, yeah, she allows me to vent. I'm going to just go then. You have to put a healthy boundary around these things. But it is a gift, isn't it, to allow somebody to be authentically themselves for that moment. One more, we'll move on. What? Okay, so again, how would that show up? Okay, yeah, so stay teachable, stay open to possibility. Yes. That's a gift that we bring, you know, because so much in our world is closed, you know. There's no possible, oh, no, you can't do that. But the message of the Christ is, yes, you can. Everything is possible. And see, Jesus applied these four steps in the hero's journey every day, and guess what? He calls us to do the same thing because each one brings a gift with it. And I've got four gifts that I believe that Jesus clearly brought to us from his store. And he didn't just bring it as a nice idea. He embodied it, so we know it's true, right? He lived it. And that's the genius of Jesus, I think. He wasn't just a teacher. He was a liver of this, right? What he said, he also did. So the first gift that he brings us on Easter week for us to embody, on Holy Week, for us to embody this week, is unconditionality. That was one of his greatest teachings, the unconditional nature of God, right? That there's no conditions around love. It is unconditionally given. He lived it, too. He lived that unconditional life because he said in the Gospels, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And guess what he did? He laid down his life. So he lived that unconditionally. This is radical because when we live unconditionally, everything changes, doesn't it? If I'm conditional in my love, then I'm living in the same old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth universe. When I'm unconditional, it's easy to love my friends, but Jesus calls me to love my enemies also. In other words, not to see enemies, in other words, because an enemy only becomes an enemy when I buy into it. They may hate me, but unless I buy into it and allow that hate to alter my behavior and my understanding, then I don't have any enemies until I do that, because I create my own enemies. I have the choice. So unconditionality leads to radical forgiveness, doesn't it? It leads to a freedom that we can't even imagine. I'm still getting my head around this one because I think this is something you don't just preach or you don't just think about. It takes a lifetime to embody. Folks, this is a place of unconditional love because no one is judged here, yes? Everyone is welcome. This is important in our world because we're embodying what Jesus taught. Unconditionality leads to transformation. Try it. How many people have actually been unconditional for more than a second? 2 minutes? Three? You know, it's something that we have to be humbly open to because it's going to rock our world, okay? Second thing Jesus teaches us is irreverence because he came to shake everything up, didn't he? He came to question authority. I love this idea. Remember that old bumper sticker? Question authority. Because it means that we don't accept things just because somebody else tells us that's the way it is. He was irreverent in terms of kicking over all the rules and regulations of the Pharisees. I mean, he ticked them off right royally. That's why they wanted to string him up, wasn't it? Because he dared to go against the structure, the way things are done. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The structure is there to serve us, not us to serve the structure. And yet we don't listen to that. So much of religion is about dogmas and certainties and the way it must be done. We don't have dogmas in Unity. We have creative chaos. It's a miracle that any of this happens, folks, that we're all here on Sunday because we're totally chaotic. Come to a board meeting sometime. You'll get the idea. But seriously, it's very creative because it's beyond the rules and regulations, trying to live outside of that, to be irreverent. And I don't mean that he wasn't holy and he wasn't blasphemous in any way, but he dared to question things, yes, to be authentic, because I think that's where true irreverence, the ability to question things and not accept things just because you heard it somewhere else or you grew up with it, that leads to true authentic living, right? When I'm not trusting what's out there, I am trusting what's in here, yeah? What guidance I'm receiving from Spirit. Three, abundance. Jesus definitely lived the abundant life. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wanted us to live fully and freely, right? And not buy into lack or limitation. To have all that was there for us, right? To claim our goods, to move into that consciousness that it's available for us in creative ideas that then lead and translate into creative embodiment of those ideas, yeah? What was his first miracle, by the way? Turning water into wine. Say, abundance. Because wine represented that apotheosis of the joys and givingness of spirit. And it still does in the Middle East today. In the Sufi writings, they write about wine. Now, they don't drink wine because they're Muslim. But they talk about it as a symbol of the best that could be. So when Jesus turns water into wine, he's turning the purity into something even more powerful and potent. Yes? So he's living that abundant life. I like the idea, and I know it's true, that he liked to dance. They liked to party. Yeah? Half of what we read in the Gospels, we don't get because it hasn't been translated correctly. He was a great Jewish comedian. And it'd be great, wouldn't it, if we could translate the idioms and all the puns that he used to get back to the real Jesus, the abundantly joyful, filled with laughter and possibility Jesus, who was irreverent but deeply real, yeah? Filled with unconditional acceptance for all. And that's one thing he disliked the most, I think. People who drew lines around and said, inside are the right people and outside is you people. Didn't like that. He wanted it to be all, yes? His love was that kind of embrace. Abundance leads to vitality. You know, when you're living the abundant life, you're vitalized. When you're living a life of lack, you're dispossessed. Didn't want lack. He was claiming the abundant good of the universe for all of us. Fourth, simplicity, folks. Jesus' message was eminently simple, wasn't it? It could be boiled down to a few words. In fact, he only ever gave two commandments. And even then, he simplified that down to one. What were the two commandments? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And then he simplified that down to three words. Love one another. Amounts to the same thing because we're all of God. So love one another. Can it get any simpler than that? So what are we called upon to do this Holy Week as we move through these crazy days? Because if we really embody it, if we really take it seriously, it's sad. You know, we go through some joys. We also go through betrayal. We go through all the things that can happen to a human being. Yeah, we go through the pain, the anguish, the nostalgia of the Last Supper, the torture, the murder of this guy, basically. Yeah, and then we go through the resting and the resurrection. So, pop quiz. What were the four stages of our everyday, and then what were the four gifts? Oh, this is going to be tough. I love this. To quote a phrase. So the four stages of how we approach every day. Wake up to optimism, right? It's going to be a good day. I choose the higher, whatever. There's a choice in any moment. Do I go to the higher or the lower, right? In my approach to my job, my work, my family, my friends, in everything. That's the second point. Accept the challenge that comes. You know, it didn't come there into your life to be a menace to you. It comes because you're ready for it. So deal with it creatively. Receive the gift that's in it. And then, number four, take that gift and give it. Give it in some way in your life this week. You know, whatever that gift is. So in our meditation now, I'm going to ask that we investigate what is our gift. What is the gift that is ours to give this particular week? And you're going to draw it from those four great gifts, if you like, but draw it from anywhere because there's limitless good in Jesus. Well, what are those four gifts that we just uplifted? The gift of unconditionality. Let that roll around in your head for a while. Unconditionality. Whoa! That could explode you open to transformation right there. So unconditionality. Irreverence. dare to defy structure. You know, I love the new Pope, actually, so far, because he is doing things that are quite out of the box and seemingly irreverent. Like, for instance, you know, each Pope has to have a solid gold ring. His ring is gold-plated silver, which is cool because it's less expensive, you know. And then supposedly after the Pope dies, they boil the ring down and make the new one. It's going to be really difficult for them. They're going to be ticked off here. It's awkward now. What do you do with the silver for? You know, we always do gold. Yeah. But I also like that he's not in his Pope mobile. He's not protected by bulletproof glass anymore. Now he's in an open carriage. This is radical. Yeah. In other words, he's daring to be one with the people he's serving. That's huge for me. And also, he's uplifting the poor and the dispossessed, yes? And asking us to live that aware life, bringing that gift. So I like the elements of irreverence there from on high, from the papacy. He asks for people to pray for him. He's not the almighty Pope that's praying for everybody, right? Please pray for me too, because we can all use it, yes? So unconditionality, irreverence. I got to shut up. Two more. Abundant good, joy, laughter. See the dance in Jesus this week, you know? Because Jesus dances. He's the Lord of the dance. And then finally, keep it simple, sweetheart. Can you just do that for me? And how simple can you get? I didn't hear it. Love one another. Wow, if we did that for a whole week, the world would be transformed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.